My Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, you can go to 1 Corinthians 10. I'll be there in a little bit, but that way you can already have your finger on it. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject of destined to win in life. Destined to win in life. If you will commit to walk this word out, you will win in life. Now, it might take some time, but I promise you, you will win in life. You know, everything about God is a process. You know, things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. That is why the writer says, in patience, possess ye your soul. And so, you know, process is very important. In a lot of areas, process has gone out of the window. You've heard me say it before. We live in this fast-paced society where, you know, we used to make everything from homemade. You got it? We used to make bread from scratch, but scratch is obsolete. Scratch has been scratched. You got it? We live in this fast-paced society where, you know, we have microwave popcorn. We have drive-through windows. Now you have people that come out from Walmart to bring you your bags to you so you don't even have to walk in there. You got it? But even though we live in this fast-paced culture, God's process for our lives has still not changed. You got it? And so, if you're going to get the gold watch, so to speak, in life, you're going to have to endure some things. The Bible says that we have to endure hardship as a good soldier. But you have to know that regardless of what comes or regardless of what goes, that God has you covered. And that's something that you have to keep hold to, that I know it seems like you've been in this season for a long time, but God has you covered. I know you don't want to be in the situation maybe you're in, but God has you covered. Everybody say, God has me covered. All right, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, one of my favorite scriptures. I know I have a lot of them, but this is one of my favorite. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. And that part is just teaching me that I'm not the only somebody who has ever gone through what I'm going through. And because when you go through things, how many know the devil will try to get you all by yourself and make you feel like you're all alone and you're the only person who's ever going through this and people don't understand? And that is just a trick from the enemy. The writer says that there is no test or temptation that comes your way that is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Others have gone through it and they have gotten through it. So that's good for you to know so you can go through it and you can get through it too. He says all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. That is one of my favorite parts of this scripture, that God is never going to let me down. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, God is never going to let me down. Even if I'm the one that got myself in this situation, he's a God of grace, he's a God of mercy, and God is never going to let me down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you to come through it. You serve a God that has made a commitment to you that says, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you, that I'm going to be with you till the end. He's the only somebody that I know that knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and has still not changed his mind about you. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's a good place to clap right there. All right, so let's talk about this culture we live in and the different types of people. There are three types of people that we're going to talk about on this morning. The first one we're going to talk about is criticizers. Everybody say criticizers. The second we're going to talk about is traumatizers. Everyone say traumatizers. And the third one we're going to talk about is maximizers. With a real loud voice, say maximizers. Yeah, that's right. Now, when we talk about criticizers, these are people that are always negative in situations. I mean, they're, you know, no matter what it is, it's always, you know, they're just negative about everything. The waiter comes and says, hey, I've got this coupon for 20% off of your meal. And you would think people would be like, oh, well, praise the Lord. And you're like, just 20%? I mean, you were about to pay 100% a minute ago. Right? I mean, just crazy. criticizers. You got it? They spend more time talking doubt and unbelief than they do confessing the promises of God. You know, and you have to learn in life that I never confess the problem. I always confess the promise because I have a God that has made a promise to me, and all the promises of God are yes and amen in my life. Even if they haven't showed up yet, I've got to understand, but when walking by faith, if I'm willing to wait forever, it's not going to take that long, but I have to be willing to wait forever. Pastor, why do I have to be willing to wait forever? I've got to let the devil know that I am going to outlast you, that I'm in this for the long haul, that quitting is not an option, that I'm not going to throw in the towel, that I cannot be defeated, and I refuse to quit. You got it? So as a believer, I know how to take a licking and keep on ticking. I understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the scripture doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord is going to deliver me out of them all. So even when I'm in a situation that I don't want to be in, I lift my hands up and say, Father, I thank you for delivering me out of this situation. And so you've got to make sure that you are not a criticizer. All right, the next one is traumatizers. Traumatizers. These are people that fall apart over everything. I mean, they just fall apart over everything. They're drama queens and drama kings. You got it? They always make things out to be more than they really are. You got it? They are always doing the most. You understand? They are always over the top. You got it? These are people that they get traumatic over just anything. You know, they're walking outside and, well, I just can't believe it's raining. I mean, they just traumatize over everything. You got it? And then they will call you in an attempt to get you upset over something that really doesn't matter. Thank God for caller ID. You can determine how much drama you want in your life by calling the phone ring. Ring. Oh, nope, nope. Ring. Nope, 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 nope. Yeah. Oh, I'll answer that. Praise the Lord. Don't act like you don't do it. You know you do. Amen. But then there are maximizers. These are people who choose to face life situations with spiritual principles to overcome obstacles and walk in God's best. These are people that say, no, I know that God is real. I know that his word is true. And even if I don't want to be in this situation, I know that I serve a God that has made a commitment that he's going to get me out of whatever it is that I'm in. These are people that know how to win with the hand that they've been dealt. They don't want to trade somebody else's hand. They say, I learned how to be content in the place that I'm in, and God is going to get the glory out of my life. You got it? These are maximizers. And God is looking for maximizers. Maximizers are people who know their God. Yeah, maximizers are people that aren't easily, you know, persuaded. And they're not people that are easily, you know, fearful. They don't, you know, tuck their tail between their leg and run off just because it got tough. Maximizers are people who understand that they, you know, that we are in a real fight, but we already understand that we already win. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes, not depending on the day, he says, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And so these are people that realize that it doesn't matter what comes or no matter what goes, I'm going to maximize this situation. Maximizers are people who are not afraid to talk back to the devil. You know, the devil likes to talk. He likes to tell you, you ain't going to make it. You know, your marriage is going to fall apart. You're going to die. You know, this is going to happen. No. Maximizers are those that know how to talk back to the devil. See, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil, he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and the enemy would come out him and say, you know, if you'll do this, I'll give you this, and I'll give you this. And Jesus kept coming right back at him with the word, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. It is written that thou shalt have no other God before me. And when the enemy comes at you, you got to go back at him with something. You got to go back at him with the word. You got to let the devil know, no greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. In this craziness that I'm going through, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is guarding my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You got it? You got to let the devil know these boots was made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. And these boots are about to walk all over you. Can I get a? Amen. Daniel, the 11th chapter and the 32nd verse. Are y'all getting something out of this? He says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. He says, but watch this, but that the people that do know their God, Like when I read that, and he says the people that do know, not the people are, you know, you can't be sometimey. You got it. That is why you have to cultivate a relationship with God where you know that he is my savior, where you know that he is my healer, where you know that he is my redeemer. And the writer says the people that do know their God, let's watch this, shall be strong and do exploits. So the writer says that if I really know God, I will have a strength and an ability to do what I normally cannot do. I will have a strength and an ability to overcome every obstacle. I will have a strength and an ability to get my family through this situation that I'm going through. I will have a strength and an ability because I understand it's not based on who I am, but it's based on who he is, because I know my God. I know who he is. Watch this. The strength on me is not from me, it's from God. The ability on me is not from me, it is from God. And so you've got to understand, no matter what situation you're going through, if you really know who your God is, you have a strength and an ability to get through whatever it is that you're going through. Does that make sense? You know, and when we begin to talk about knowing who our God is, there are different names for our God. And I just love these different names for our God. The Bible says that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that will provide. And so now, because I know who my God is, even if I get in a situation that I don't want to be in, maybe financially or, you know, paycheck to paycheck or whatever, because I know who my God is, I don't have to get upset. I don't have to get frustrated. I don't have to get in fear. You got it? I'm not going to let the enemy tell me that I'm going to get kicked out of my house. No, I know who my God is. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that will provide, and God will provide for you. You just have to have faith that he will provide for you. You just got to learn how to say what his word says and don't say what other people are saying. Does that make sense? So he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Let's put the second one up. He is Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rophika. He is the Lord, our healer. How many know that you are already healed? So you're not going to be healed. You got it. You're not might be healed, but you right now are already healed. And so you have to start walking in that healing. Jesus took 39 stripes. And because of those stripes, the Bible says that we are already healed. The Bible says that he bore our sickness and infirmity on a tree. And so what happens is when the enemy tries, you know, to attack your body, you've got to say, remember, Jesus did this. He responded with the word of God. So you have to start responding, Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that I'm not the sick trying to get healed, but I'm the healed resisting sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. So I speak to my body right now, and I command my body to line up with the word of God. And if there's anything in my body that ought not be there, I command it to die, to dry up, to disintegrate, to leave, and to never return. Healing virtue flow through my body in Jesus' name. And then what do? I get up and I try to do something I couldn't do before. You understand what I'm saying? I'm exercising my faith and letting the devil know, you listen, I might have been down, but I am not out, and the word of God has got me back up. I'm not going to lay in this bed all the days of my life. You got it? I'm not going to walk around with this pain all of my life. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed that I know my God, and because I know my God, I have a strength and an ability to get through this. That's good teaching right there all by itself. That's good teaching. All right, let's go to the next one. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. You got it. He is my peace in the midst of turmoil. He is my peace in the midst of storm. He is my peace in the midst of folks lying on me. He is my peace in the midst of folks changing their mind about me. See, the problem is most people don't really know him to be their peace. And watch this. And when you don't know him to be your peace, it becomes hard because you want to always fight back. What do y'all call it? Clap back? Is that what it is? Y'all always want to clap. You know, I'm learning these things. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. I've been in church all my life. You understand? I don't know much. If you took me to the club, you'd probably show me how to do a few things, but I don't want to go. But anyways, so, my wife was trying to tell me this phrase the other day. What was the phrase? Huh? Go cap. No cap. I don't know what no cap means, but I know what, I do know I do know what Jehovah Shalom means, that he is my peace. And no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I don't have to fight back. I don't have to clap back, cap or no cap. I don't know anything about that stuff. But I do know that, watch this, when my mind is running and the devil is shooting all these things at me, if the Bible says those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, if I just call on his name, his anointing will come down, it will settle me, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This young man is teaching up in here, whether you know it or not. So the people that do know their God, the reason I'm giving you all these, I know some of us know them, some of us need refreshers, and some of us that don't know them need to start walking this thing out. So watch this. So I'm not moved by what I see or the circumstance that I'm in. I'm only moved by the word of God, right? And so let's put up the next one on the screen. So the next one is, he is Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord who is ever present. That is why I am never, ever alone. You are never, ever alone. I know we go through situations. I know sometimes we go through trials where you feel like you're alone, where you feel like nobody understands, where you feel like you're in a lonely place or a bad place or a dark place. But I want to tell you that you serve a God, and his name is Jehovah Shammah, and he is the Lord who is ever present. He says, and in your very worst moment, if you, even if you're falling apart, if you're crying, if you will just talk to me, you will feel my presence. You know, it's funny when we go through stuff, and I'm not knocking you because we've all done it, but when we go through stuff, we'll call everybody and tell everybody about the situation going on, but we forgot to talk to Jesus. When he is on the main line, you just got to tell him what you want. That I do know. Call him up. He's listening. Tell him what you want. You got it? And so he is Jehovah Shammah. He is a Lord that's ever present. So I'm walking into a new job, and this is really out of my element. I'm not even sure how I got, this job besides the favor of God, because I really don't know how to do this thing that I'm doing. I'm really not qualified to do this. So I'm walking in, but I'm not walking by myself. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present, is with me, and he's going to help me to say the right thing in the right time. He's going to give me all the knowledge that I need. He's going to connect me with somebody on this job who's going to take me under their wing and show me everything I need to know so I can get to where I'm trying to go. So he's Jehovah Shammah. He's the Lord who's ever present. All right, let's look at the next one. Jehovah Gamola. He is the God of recompense. He is the God of recompense. And that is why we don't fight back. That's why we don't clap back. That's you know, it's crazy to y'all still think that's funny, huh? But it's funny with y'all, it's only funny if I say it. You understand what I'm saying? Like y'all say stuff and it's not funny, but then pastor says it and then it's all of a sudden funny. But I ain't messing with y'all this morning. I ain't messing with y'all. So he is the God of recompense. So he fights my battle for me. Hold on Jehovah Gamola, okay? So just keep your finger on Jehovah Gamola, and let's go to number 6. He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. What is he, class?
The Most High God.
So you got to understand that because he is the Most High God, this puts him in a category all by himself. All right? So he is the Most High God, and because he is the Most High God, the Bible says that he has the final say. So in your situation and in your circumstance and anything that you're going through, watch this. We respect the doctor, but the doctor didn't have the final word. We respect the banker, but the banker didn't have the final word. I respect my boss, but my boss does not have the final say, because he is El Elyon. He is the Most High God, and in my body, he has the final say. And in my marriage, he has the final say. And with my children, he has the final say. And with my grandchildren, he has the final say. And in every aspect, in every area of my life, because I've submitted myself to him, he has the final say. So because I know my God, there is a strength and an ability on me to get through whatever I'm going through, because it doesn't matter what other people are saying. All that really matters is what God says, and what God says and what God thinks about you matters most. Make sense? All right. Y'all enjoying this? Okay, number seven, he is Jehovah Makedeshim. He is the Lord my sanctifier. He is the Lord my sanctifier. He sanctifies me. He sets me apart. He keeps me. He covers me. He protects me. No God like my God. So it doesn't matter where I'm going or what's going on. You know, and this is something that you have to pray over your children, that he sanctifies my children. He sets my children apart. My children just can't get connected to any and everybody. My children ain't just going to be doing everything. My children will not be caught up on drugs. My children won't be out there on the street corner. You got it? My children ain't going to be smoking the weed and the herb, losing all their brain cells. No, my children ain't going to do that. You do know you lose brain cells when you smoke the herb, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure you know. All right? And so, you know, so you got to understand, watch this now, you got to understand that he is my sanctifier. He's my redeemer. All right? Now I'm going to keep Jehovah Gamolah, which was number 5, and I want to put it with number 8, Jehovah Nissi. So we're going to tie these two together, because he is the God of recompense. He will always fight my battles. See, you know, God knew what he was doing when he created me, so I can only teach and not sing. Because if I could sing, I would sing that song, "This is how I fight my battles." You understand what I'm saying? But anyways, I ain't fooling with y'all this morning. I ain't fooling with y'all. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the Lord who is my banner of victory. You got it? He's my banner of victory. I always win. Always win. People say, well, you know, no, not always. Well, maybe for you, but not for me. No, because the Bible says that if I do it God's way, I will get God's results. Now, it doesn't say in what time or fashion I'm going to win, but the Bible says that I always win. So the problem is, you want to win by the end of the month, and I'm in agreement, but if you don't, you're going to keep fighting. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to be in it for the long haul, all right? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat is being assailed by the children of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. And do we have that? Did I say it wrong? 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 10. Okay, cool. All right. You're going to read this in a minute. We're going to read it together. But what happens is, these people have come against the children of God, and the king goes to God, and he says, wait a minute, this is messed up, because there was a time when they were coming out of Egypt. We could have slayed them, but you told us to don't mess with them, and now look how they're doing to repay. All right? He's Jehovah Gamolah. He's the God of recompense. He's Jehovah Nissi. He is my victory. All right? I don't even have it here, so I've got to read it up here too. All right? And now, behold, this was an insert at 8:50. Amen? And now, you know, the Lord is always forever speaking, and we praise the Lord for that. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. The king is going to God and he's talking to God. He says, you would not let us invade them when they came out of the land of Egypt, but turned from them and destroyed them not. He says, behold, I say, look how they reward us, God, to come to cast us out of thy possession. You gave us an inheritance. You gave us this land. And now they're trying to fight against us. Verse 12. He says, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. We don't have strength and ability against them. He said, neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And anytime you get in a situation where you don't know what to do, it's not a bad situation. You just have to know how to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So he says, but our eyes are upon you. And all of Judah, they begin to fast, they begin to pray. And all of Judah begin, watch this, stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. The king said, bring everybody, bring the babies, bring everybody. We got to have a little talk with Jesus, right? Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, who was a great man of God, and that's why you need great men of God in your life. Everybody needs a good pastor. You got it? Watch this. That's a revelation right there. Even the king needed a priest. Even because when you, oh man, I don't have time to talk about this, but when we talk about kings and priests in the Bible, and when you look at it in modern day, kings would be like business people and entrepreneurs and people like that, you know, and priests, well, you know what priests are, you know, priests would kind of be like, and you need, watch this, and so even though the king might have been prominent, he had a lot of stuff, there was things he couldn't do unless he went to the priest, because the priest heard from God on him. Can I tell you a quick story? There was a king named Uzziah, and he was a good king, and he did a lot of incredible things. He was a man of God. He made roads, and he made inroads, and he did all these kind of things. And he all and the Bible talked about how he prospered as long as he went to Zechariah. You got as long as he went to the man of God, he would go to the man of God, and the man of God would say, "This is the way you need to go," and then the king would go that way. And then one day, the king made it up in his mind that he is going to go into the tabernacle and present something before the Lord on his own. And Zechariah said, "Don't do that." And for a moment, the king, watch this, in his prominence, that's why when you get stuff, you can't think you better than somebody else because you still need Jesus. You got it? And so for a moment, watch this, he thought that he elevated his man of God when it never works like that. And he goes in to the temple and leprosy jumps on him. And he dies not even being able to be buried with the other kings. And so that's why when you get stuff, you have to own stuff, and the stuff can't own you. That's why when you get a new car, you can't stay home washing it on Sunday. You still have to come into the house of the Lord and say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." But that's another story for another time. I have not forgotten where we are. Jehovah, you know, it's just stuff jumps out at me, all right? And now it's 3 minutes left, and they're about to come. And, you know, but this is my church. I run this church. And I'm going to be done in 3 minutes and 38 seconds. Let's keep reading. "Then upon Jehazel, watch this, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, 'Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Israel.'" Watch this. "And thou, king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you." Well, Pastor, why did you even go there? Because when I was reading that, I realized that Jehaziel fell under the priesthood. But anyways, so the priest still needed, watch this, even though Jehaziel didn't have a title, even though Jehaziel wouldn't call this, there was an anointing that was on him for that. Okay? Okay, yes, this is good. This is good. She's playing that real metacritical music. Watch this. "Thus saith" who, class? "Thus saith the Lord." When God speaks, everything else is off limits. And sometimes God will speak to you through me. Sometimes God will speak to you through somebody else. Sometimes God will just come and talk directly to you. But when God has spoken to you, I woke up and I think God is still trying to explain what he told me. He says, "Son, this is a new season." And I didn't understand everything he was saying because he didn't explain himself the whole way. But well, you know what I did? I received that. And I said, "Man, now I'm going to walk this out and God's going to show me as I go." And he said, "Thus saith the Lord unto you." He started prophesying, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord." So I just need you to know the battle's not your battle. You ain't got to fight. You got it? You just got to keep living right. You just got to keep walking by faith. You just got to keep confessing this word. You got to keep loving people. You got to keep treating people right. You got to keep doing everything you know this Bible teaches you to do. But don't try to fight it because the battle's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And God is going to take care of you. Did you hear what I said? God is going to take care of you because God is concerned about you. He's concerned about the things that concern you. He's concerned about the things that keep you up at night. He's concerned about the things that you won't talk to anybody else about because you don't know who you can trust. And so God is concerned about you. But he makes this commitment that "I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, that I'm going to be with you till the end." So this is what I want you to do. The next time it gets a little crazy and thoughts start to fly and that kind of stuff, just go find yourself a little quiet place. Well, I'm at work. Well, just take a bathroom break and go to the bathroom. And just watch this. And just in that moment, just say, "God, I just need you right now. I need you to help me." And you can. And the wonderful thing about God is you can talk to God just plain. Like, "God, all these thoughts are going through my mind, you know, and just it's a little heavy right now, but I'm leaning on you and I'm trusting on you and I'm relying on you." And it is amazing how God, he will immediately begin to come to your rescue. And so the battle is not your battle. Quit losing sleep. Quit calling everybody talking about it. Quit complaining. Quit clapping back on Facebook. It's not your battle. It belongs to the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believe it.